Okay, you're listening to the Potential Cast, episode 11 for season 1, Out of Mind, Out of Sight. As Cordelia prepares for Sunnydale High's May Queen competition, an invisible force starts attacking her closest friends.
Introductions, let's go.
This is Stephanie.
This is Kimberly.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Robin.
And we're
Robin's here again. Robin.
Oh, we forgot. Last time we forgot to tell what podcast Robin's on.
He's on every single podcast.
Every single one.
If it's a podcast, he's on it.
I think his Twitter bio says, "Hey, podcast, I want to be on you."
Yes. I am from the Media sure. Junkyard at MediaJunkyard.com.
What about your flagship podcast?
What about my flagship podcast?
You will never live that down. Everyone is always going to ask you, hey, how's the flagship podcast?
Well, we've been going strong. No, I'm just kidding. Make you go, what? Wait.
No, there's something wrong with the feed because I'm still subscribed and there hasn't been a new episode in a year.
It's definitely. I mean, you know, we've toyed with starting it back up again, but as of right now, it's over.
Yeah, because Robin used to be on the Wicked Awesome podcast.
Yes,
but I first heard Robin when he was on the Trivia War podcast.
Yes,
and
that's over.
That was over, yeah. And then you were doing Wicked Awesome, and then you jumped on board Media Junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
We invited you in Boston to be permanent members of the show, and yeah.
I've been now ruining lives ever since.
Ruining lives ever since. Yeah. Interesting. It all kind of started the last time you were in this house, too. Yeah. Robin is actually an in-studio guest, for those of you that care about that kind of thing. So, thank you, Robin, once again for coming all the way to Canada to be part of the show.
No problem. I will put all the wild animals away that I've brought.
I don't think he knows what Skype is.
In Montreal, do they have those signs with, like, the moose crossings on the highway?
Did you see any moose crossing signs?
No, but I saw a guy balancing on a bicycle.
Yes.
There's really strange signs here.
Yes, and we also have those signs that say that only helicopter fire trucks are allowed.
Helicopter fire trucks, yes. What is up with that? Either way,
our fire lane signs in this, like, little strip mall near our house next to the Canadian Tire. It looks like there's a helicopter prop on top of the fire truck. It's like, wait a second, can't park here. There might be a helicopter fire truck landing.
Well, don't destroy the illusion. I was about to ask Kim if she has any experience in helicopter fire trucks.
No, sadly, no.
I'm reasonably confident that as the father of a four-year-old, this is not the last time it will ever hear the term helicopter fire truck. So what did we think?
Out of mind, out of sight.
Who loved this episode?
I liked it. Nope. I didn't love it.
There were parts of it that I really, really loved, and other parts I could have done without.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the main parts about the invisible girl, I wasn't very much intrigued, but all of the Buffy and Cordelia stuff was awesome. I really, really mm-hmm. enjoyed getting to know Cordelia more. And I really kind of I enjoyed Buffy's melancholy, you know, she's at the locker and then Xander and Willow are kind of doing the inside joke thing about sixth grade and, you know, and then, she's talking about, she admits to them that she was May Queen or whatever queen it was in her school. And they have to kind of backtrack about what kind of moron would want to be May Queen. And, I don't know. I really enjoyed her, you know. And then she looks in through the, you know, the door as Cordelia and her ladies in wait are getting the, you know, like getting the dress ready. It was weird.
And she's longing for that normal life of being May Queen. Yeah,
that was one of my points. Like, she wants to be just like a regular girl, but she's got greater responsibilities to deal with, and that's what she hates about it. Because I think she secretly wants to be just like Cordelia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really, Gabby?
I mean, being normal would be great for her. Yeah.
Gabby, tell us, did this episode help change your opinion?
Yeah, totally.
Do I not hate her anymore?
Yeah, like, do you still hate her as much? Do you hate her a little less?
You know, I felt sorry for her. And when she, in that speech where she's going on and on about how, about being alone in a crowd.
Yeah.
That whole thing made me sad. But then, you know, and then it was like she was trying too hard and then got their help, but didn't, I don't know. At the very end, when all of a sudden she obviously switched back to, you know, being a bitch, she really, I was like, yeah, I don't like you. I still don't like her. I feel sad for her, and I can kind of see where she's coming from, but I'm still not a fan because she doesn't seem like she'll be changing her stripes anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So I'm still on the hate bandwagon, so yes.
Well, you got to imagine how traumatizing it was for her when she hit that person with a bike or ran over that person with her bike. Yeah.
And she thought it was all about her, but it was clearly... Oh, God.
Your leg is greater than my pain? Come on, guys.
Yeah, I still
is that how you feel when you randomly run into people with your helicopter, Kim?
Yes.
Her helicopter.
Seriously, my $1 million helicopter just broke. Whatever. I don't care about your priceless leg.
Who cares about your decapitated body?
Yeah. I must say that, I mean, as you girls probably were not fans of the bitchy girls, or maybe were one of them, as Gabby was saying earlier, I definitely got some sort of pleasure out of seeing a jock being beaten with a baseball bat. I was...
Time out. Saddest excuse for a jock I have ever seen. He was a toothpick. He was a toothpick. Little teeny tiny mister. It was terrible. Mm. Oh, just awful.
But he was still coherent enough to give Buffy all the information as they wheeled him out of the school.
That's the best.
Which is the best part.
You know, when you have these shows, I mean, I definitely, I can think about, like, you know, Smallville as well, like, where you have, like, a civilian trying to do, like, police work. It's so funny how the police kind of step back and don't notice ever when they're coming up and asking questions and... Hold on, detective. I need to interview this person.
Clearly, you're not doing your job right.
Well, let me read this one. This one email from Heidi about this episode. She says, "Hi, guys. Still loving the podcast. I like this episode. It's a very good high school story. I enjoy it when the gang." Finds out that they were aware of Marcy's existence as well with her, have a great summer wishes in her yearbook. The Scoobies are actually pretty exclusive on who gets into their group, even though they're the outcasts. Kids at my niece and nephew's school just write hags for have a great summer. Weird.
Hags. Hey, Kim, can you change your name from Kim to something that starts with an H? Never mind.
Could it be Kim with an H in the front and the H is silent? Okay.
Just do that. Thanks, Heidi, for the email. That was kind of a horribly gut-wrenching moment, wasn't it?
I hated the have a nice summer thing. I mean, if it was friends that wrote it in my yearbook, I was like, are you serious? Really nothing but that? That is the ultimate rub-off.
But Cordelia, she kind of has to swallow her pride to go to the library and ask for Buffy's help.
Mm-hmm. The way she asked.
But she did it in such a backhanded way, though.
I thought you were in a gang. Or I was hoping you were in a gang.
I know you hang out with a bunch of losers or something like that.
She's looking right at them, too. Do you want to read any other email stuff?
Should we? Clifton House. Why don't you read this one, Lirio? Sure.
spoiler-free greetings. Clifton writes, "Hello, everyone. I got turned onto your show from Brian Curry's Hellmouth podcast, which I heartily recommend if you can handle the spoilers, but heartily do not recommend if you don't know the shows yet. His almost literary critique of the episodes is much better for a second run-through this series, so keep it in your mind for your eventual rewatch. I had a love-hate relationship with the Buffy show for many years before it converted me. Basically, the crew of Serenity forced me at gunpoint to go back to Buffy and stick with it. But even that would not have been enough for me to get through season one if I hadn't inadvertently watched the first couple of episodes of the last season of Angel. Once we got hooked on that, my wife and I finished it in a weekend. And we went back to Buffy because, however stupid it was, we had to see how the people we came to love in the last season of their world came to be.
Yes.
I won't spoil anything, but there's this wonderful episode of Angel involving puppets. So after deciding to pick up season one of Buffy again and force our way through it to get to the start of Angel so we could go through that series in context, the first episode we saw was Puppet Show. So that one has a fond place in my heart, even if it is not that great of a show. Just the idea that on the 9th episode we had a puppet demon fighter, and then 11 seasons of TV later, Joss went back to the puppet thing, tickled my fancy, and allowed me suspend disbelief enough to finish off Buffy. Happily, the next.
So just
go ahead.
So does Sid make an appearance in Angel, the series?
I don't know if it's Sid.
No.
Is it Sid?
No, what it is, Joss's father or grandfather, I guess his father, worked on Sesame Street.
Oh.
And he wanted a way to put Jim Henson's puppets
in the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you heard it here first, Fozzie Bear, Season 5 Angel.
Oh, wow. Waka, waka, waka. Anyway. Happily, the next batch of shows really were the start of something good, and season 2 takes it from there. And season 3 really made me a fan. Needless to say, we watched every episode, Angel, Dr. Horrible, Dollhouse, and anything else the man will make in the future. I found out recently that Netflix has Buffy streaming, and after some dental surgery a couple weeks ago, I settled in to nurse my codeine and watch some Buffy. Since my first pass through the series 4 years ago, I have discovered podcasts and the extra enjoyment of having a community of audio friends to watch a show with. So naturally, when I was back up and moving, I started downloading Buffy shows to enrich my rewatch. I am so happy I found your show, and I really have to commend you on the fantastic premise. All that credit goes to Steph, I must say. Her idea. It is so exciting as a listener to know what fun is in store for you, and I am eager and curious to see which of the many layered, rich, and complex characters you ultimately will love or hate. Even though I know the shows, the anticipation of your reactions, and my almost constant, wait till they get to this one, thoughts as I listen keeps me on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to go along for the ride with all of you, Clifton House. Thank you, Clifton, very much.
You know,
thank you.
It amazes me the fact that this show on Fox that got canceled and then they had a movie actually brings people more into the Whedonverse than, like, you know, 7 seasons of Buffy or 5 seasons of Angel. It just amazes me.
Firefly captivated lots of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty.
I think that people maybe can, it's that they can grasp onto science fiction quicker than they can grasp onto fantasy.
And also there's the whole high school element.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, even Moira, who just started watching Buffy because of our podcast, told us in an email a few episodes ago that what really bothered her and really kind of kept her, you know, away and kind of maybe reluctant was the name of the show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Right?
So that's probably my habit at first.
And it's like, you have this initial... what kept me from watching it is that I love the movie, and then when I found out it was Sarah Michelle Gellar and it wasn't really going to be the same campy thing, I figured, oh, it's not for me. but it was kind of, you know, a lot of people, I guess, have a problem with the name Buffy.
Yeah.
So weird.
But I didn't start till mid-season 2, and I was like, they made a TV series out of that movie?
I gather you didn't enjoy it, the movie?
I don't think I think I was looking for more, like, a more serious vampire, not okay.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Paul Reubens at his finest.
Yeah.
Okay, do we want to get into points of revelation?
I think so. Can someone remind me the name of the invisible girl?
Marcy.
Marcy.
Wow, she disappeared again.
She did. I'm sorry. I just realized.
And who's the actress that plays her?
Clea DuVall.
Is she in something?
Clea DuVall.
Yes.
She was in Carnival.
Yes.
She was in Carnival. That's where I first saw her. And she was on Heroes.
The Faculty.
Like she's on Heroes.
Huh? Yeah. The Faculty.
Yeah.
The Faculty. The Faculty. Who was she on Heroes?
She was Matt Parkman's
lawyer, wasn't
partner.
She?
Well, she was an FBI agent.
Oh, yeah, she's Matt Parkman's FBI agent, cop thing.
Yeah, that's right.
But she disappeared from that show.
Yeah, she did.
I'm killing this podcast.
Don't make me play Taps. I will play Taps at the end of this show. So, did anybody else kind of hate the laugh a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't like the laugh.
It was like the clown laugh in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was just kind of one of those creepy loop laughs that was just ugh.
Yeah.
And she lived upstairs from the band room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is a spoiler thing to ask, but at the end we see Marcy go into a class with other invisible students, right? Does that ever come back?
No.
I can tell you that about it being invisible comes off as kind of a gag in the last season, almost like an homage to, like, you know, the
beginnings. Because in the last season, kind of like how Lost in the last season kind of tried to remind you of the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Buffy does that. In the last season, there are a lot of, oh, yeah. Callbacks. Oh yeah, I remember. I liked that in season one. I liked that early on. Yeah.
I mean, if anybody from the Invisible Assassins Academy showed up in any of the other episodes, we didn't see them.
That's
precious.
As long as there isn't another, you know, iRobot Eugene type two.
Oh god.
But something that's really not part of the episode, or maybe it is, but I don't know, but towards the end, like the final scene where Buffy stops and listens, that cinematography looked amazing. Like, mm-hmm. You know, the slow-mo scene.
That was a beautiful shot.
It's a great shot. And is it that, okay, Buffy's finally honing her skills and learning to listen?
Well, that's what she's been told the entire episode. Like, you know, listen.
That was her lesson, I guess.
But she got in touch with more of her slayers. She was basically in the trenches of the Death Star at that point. So,
she was where?
That's a movie called Star Wars. You girls really might not have seen this one.
How dare you, Robin? How dare you?
You know, when Luke, you know, puts the targeting computer away and uses the Force.
Yes, Buffy turned off her targeting computer, kid. That's what Robin's trying to tell us.
She turned on the Force, Robin.
Yeah.
The Force.
Well, that scene was awesome.
It was a great scene.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the episode was the scalpel floating about Cordelia's face, threatening her. Oh my goodness. Desiree, what do you have to say about Out of Mind, Out of Sight?
I don't remember which one
that
is. It's the one with the invisible girl.
Oh, yeah, I was alright.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have a nice walk?
I did.
Yes, good.
Yes. I went to the store and, you know, the guy was talking to me in French. Luckily, Christine was there to translate because I got a better deal on something I was buying. So, yeah,
nice.
It was nice. These Canadians. Speak French.
Did you go, English, mother... Do you speak it?
I did. I said, I'm American. I demand you to speak American. Now.
So they started speaking to you in Spanish.
Yes.
All right.
Hi, Desiree.
Desiree can't hear you. She doesn't have headphones.
No.
Steph says hi.
Steph says hi. Everybody says hi. Kim said hi.
Hi.
Gabby's snubbing you, though.
No!
I'm making that up. I'm just trying to start shit.
Gabby, I swear.
Well, Gabby is kind of identifying with Cordy, So she's just kind of.
I am not.
I know that's her favorite character.
Yeah.
I had your back on the Star Wars thing, and that's how you're going to treat me. Okay, fine.
I'll let you go. Never mind. She didn't say any of that. She says hi, and she's the best person in the world.
I know. Thanks.
You guys have fun.
Okay, you too.
Yeah. We're recording Potential Cast. It's always fun.
Woo!
Unless Kim isn't there.
I'm here.
Then it's slightly less fun.
Oh, I get it.
Well, I think the main problem, I think it's because you were homesick, Illyria.
You think so? Well, I actually re-listened to the show as I edit. And then I listened to it again to make sure I didn't miss anything. And yeah, that iRobot Eugene episode, I was in a bad mood. But the next one, I was fine. So it was weird.
Yeah, when we got started, the mood, we were kind of, you know, and I guess it was because Kim wasn't there and because you were out of town and everything. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we had a better time talking about the puppet show.
Puppet show.
I think, too, like, yeah, it was definitely, you know, there was obviously someone missing.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Out of town, and then it was just a crappy episode. So, there you go.
I have to admit that I think it probably had something to do with when I drank my Coke Zero, because I re-listened to the Puppet Show episode, and it was like, I think I was, like, totally high on caffeine way I recapped
seriously,
the Puppet
Show. You're like, I loved this episode.
No, but I did, but the way I wound up almost recapping the whole thing like a million kilometers an hour was just weird.
That's why I took so many notes. So I was like,
it's just
right.
weird. I was like, was that me doing all, like, and in the middle of the recap, I'm like, I can't believe I'm recapping this whole episode. It's like, wow, and then this happened, and that happened, and then this.
You friggin' loved it, and you just finished watching it like 15 minutes
ago. Yeah, it was, but it's one of those situations where, you watch it and you kind of like it or you don't, but then you end up talking about it, and then I like when we talk about certain episodes, there things will come into my mind that would not have come into it had we not been talking about it. You know, like I try to prepare somewhat, but I find that most of the really kind of good ideas that come to me come to me when we talk about things. Mm. You know, like like the whole idea that Cordelia goes up to the Scoobies and asks for help. I really had a flash of, oh my goodness, is she going to be part of the Scoobies now? Mm. You know, it's like is this actually going to happen? Have they been kind of have things been converging to this moment? Where she's actually going to be, because, you know, like they tell her there's an invisible girl, right? So they kind of breach that.
They give it a bit of a,
like, supernatural side of things, right? The kind of abnormal side of things. I'm like, uh-oh, does this mean that, you know, she's going to be in on it?
I thought all the whole season up until this episode, Cordelia's character was like a waste. Hmm. And like she was an obvious cliche, someone you're supposed to instantly hate. Yeah. Like, you know, and it obviously worked, but I don't, it felt weird because it's like, okay, we got to bring another person into the crew so that, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it felt weird that they would tell her that there was an invisible girl.
Yeah, it seemed like there was no transition. It just happened too fast. You know, she went from being this person that they mock, and, you know, Xander's always making comments about, that they don't like, who's this horrible person, then all of a sudden she's like, hey, I need your help, and then here's all my inner, deep, darkest secrets. It's like, seriously? I don't think you would say stuff about yourself like that to your best friend, especially, like, if you're 16 years old and you're going through that kind of stuff. That's really, really private stuff.
Well,
and there didn't seem to be any segue into that. It was like from, you know, she went from black and, you know, black to white whatever.
I really see, like, I mean, just as much as Buffy wants to be Cordy, I mean, I'm sure Cordy wants to be Buffy, you know, the whole, you know, above all this stuff, you know, but, you know, she's too insecure to actually just accept that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But also I think Cordelia doesn't really have any inner monologue, so hers, like, just shooting her mouth off, it does make sense, but I think the whole like the Scoobies, as you would say, them inviting, or, you know, just giving her a glimpse of what it's like to be them, that's what I think felt weird. You know? Because to me, Cordelia, she just expects everybody to be totally enthralled with anything she has to say. Mm. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, and definitely there's the thing about, like, you know, how much does Buffy reveal about herself to Cordy? I mean, she just basically, you know, is just like, I mean, if you went up to the tough girl in high school and was like, hey, can you protect me? and Buffy didn't do any sort of, like, super ninja moves or anything. The whole Jedi thing she did, like, behind Cordy's chair. All Cordy really knew was that she actually knocked her out, got a good lick in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Hmm.
And speaking of Scoobies, did you notice Willow's Scooby-Doo shirt?
I missed it.
Yes.
I missed it. But I had to watch this episode on my iPhone, so the screen was small.
Where did the name the Scoobies originate from? Is it just something that people online just started calling them?
It's this 1960s show. It's called Scooby-Doo. it was about a gang of kids.
But yeah, this is what I wondered. What came first? Does the show reference them as the Scoobies first, or did fans call them the Scoobies?
Oh, because they're actually referenced on the show as Scoobies at a certain point?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they don't, like,
I thought that was just an entirely outside thing. No, but they actually say it,
I think
right?
They refer to themselves sometimes, you know.
Okay. Oh. Okay, so that's where it comes from, potentially.
Potentially. I love Giles's physical outbursts. In the last episode, he like gets a good idea and he stomps the floor.
Oh yes.
Like out of nowhere, just oh. And today in this one, he actually smashes his fist into the desk.
Table.
And, like pounds his fist into the desk. Force. Yeah,
I thought I was watching Hell's Kitchen for a second there.
But they didn't mention risotto.
No, he didn't. Yeah, no, but you're right. I totally remarked that he smashed the table. How silly of me. I kept looking at the supernatural explanations, but not the quantum mechanical. Is it?
I don't remember. I remember that one. That's by the way, Willow's pigtails? Hello.
No.
Is that thing a theme?
I'm not a fan of the pigtails.
The pigtails?
I don't know.
It's a Swiss Miss thing.
Swiss Miss?
Oh, yeah. You don't get that in
Canada?
Speaking
of Willow.
I don't know if we get Swiss Miss in Canada. Can we get Swiss Miss in Canada?
No.
No. Huh. Sorry.
I don't even know what
our stereotypes are of Germans, not Swiss.
Yeah. Swiss Miss is an American.
We get Kinder Eggs. And you do not.
Kinder Surprise?
Yes, Kinder Surprise Eggs.
You guys don't have Kinder Surprise?
Nope.
What? No. What is that?
Oh. They have no idea. They are a land bereft of Crunchy Bars, Coffee Crisp, and Kinder Surprise Eggs.
Guys are weird. Okay.
Crunchy Bars do, however, look delicious.
They are delicious. I'm going to give my guests some tomorrow.
Mmm, chocolate. No Nazis.
Wrong episode. Don't make me edit this.
Oh. Wait a minute. There was a... No, I don't know.
There was no Nazi reference in this one, was there?
Yes, there was.
There was?
I don't. Wait a minute. No direct Nazi reference in this one.
So, is it bad?
Can we talk about?
Sorry, go ahead.
Can we talk about Angel for a second?
Yeah, Angel was here.
Angel's back.
Angel and Giles.
First meeting.
I like that scene.
That was a good scene.
Was that the first time where Angel and Giles had a scene just them?
Yep.
I believe so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Does it happen often that those two talk to each other?
Here and there. Okay. Here and there. Sometimes they're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny.
I was looking for... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, please, go ahead.
When Angel came, when he came on screen, I was looking at his neck to see if he still had the burn of the cross there, but he didn't.
It's too bad.
Vampires heal very quickly.
Yeah. Stephanie, you watch Bones, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I just started watching Bones, and I have a gigantic crush now on David Boreanaz.
Yes. Listen
to
him speak in public, for real. Listen to David Boreanaz in real life, and you'll lose that crush.
The downsides to going to Comic-Con.
Yeah. He's annoying.
Oh no.
Is he a low talker like Don Draper?
No, he just talks and talks and talks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I bet his wife is miserable. I bet she's having to tell him to shut up constantly.
Well,
I
mean, considering just... he cheated on her, yeah.
I'm pregnant!
I know. Ugh.
Allegedly.
Well, you know what that means in Hollywood.
Robin, how's it going?
All right, are we talking about pigtails yet?
I don't talk about pigtails.
Okay, let me talk. What about the man in the FBI? You know, did you notice, like,
Agent Smith?
Yeah.
Those guys were the lamest fake FBI agents ever.
Yeah. What was that all about?
I would have preferred a fake Mulder and Scully team or something.
It was totally inappropriate people hanging out at the school. Yeah. Just like in the last one, it's like all of a sudden, hey, there's a 12-year-old kid hanging out at high school. No one makes any bones about it. And now there's these like guys in black suits. And they're like, oh, they look and they're like, oh, that's weird. And then no one says anything about it.
Yeah, but the FBI agents, they reminded me of the men with the hands of blue from Firefly.
Oh. Ah.
Interesting.
Gabby, all I have to say is you need to learn to suspend your disbelief.
How many times do you have to say this? I keep forgetting. Gosh, what's wrong with me? It's so silly.
You don't want people sending us letters, but come on.
Okay, so the reason that Angel went to talk to Giles was because of this book of Codex.
Yes,
and Codex. Angel's going to go find the Codex
book. That's not why you went to go talk to Giles. I think we're going to go talk to Giles because he missed Buffy, and Giles is the closest he could get.
Yeah, he was hoping that Buffy would be in the library.
You think so?
I don't think so.
No.
I think we have to go talk to Giles and kind of, hey, how's Buffy doing?
Yeah.
Hey. Is she okay? Has Buffy talked about me?
But he's hundreds. How old is he?
The 226 year difference.
Okay, well, there you go.
Just ask
Anthony
Quinn's wife.
Does she like me? Can you pass her this note to her in class?
Yeah. Could you give her this note next time you see her?
But when you guys were doing iRobot Eugene, did you discuss about how Buffy has two birthdays?
No, we didn't. We missed that. But you mentioned that on your call.
I mentioned it in my call-in.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways, okay. No, okay. Never mind.
The funny thing...
Robin.
Sorry?
Robin. Yeah. Go ahead. Talk about that.
So what?
Whatever it was you were going to talk about.
Buffy's birthday.
Oh, I wasn't going
to... About Buffy's birthday.
I wasn't going to talk about Buffy's birthday.
You weren't going to talk about Buffy?
No. I was going to talk about Angel more.
Oh.
Because he's...
I want to see Angel with one of those little paper stars to see if Buffy likes him. That's what I want to see.
You know...
Pick a color.
You know, yeah, pick a color. Giles, pick a color.
You know...
The funny thing about the whole...
Yellow.
But you know what I was saying?
Sorry.
When I was saying before about how I thought that Buffy and Angel were hot...
Uh-huh.
I remember back that in season one, I still wasn't feeling their chemistry and relationship. Yeah. It was more into season two when I was like, ooh, they really need to get together.
I think they kind of had some chemistry for like 10 seconds in the Angel episode, but it was very forced. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it progresses because I know that the series goes on for what, 7 seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So
it gets better in season 2. And what is awesome is next week we get to do the finale for season 1. It's almost over.
It's just one more episode for season 1.
One more.
Yeah.
Wow. That wasn't so bad. Everybody's like,
it's been a chore.
I hope you guys can make it. I really hope you stick to it. This is fine. This is nothing. This is a piece of cake.
Can I just say that about Angel? Mm-hmm. I love the rescue scene where he pulls them out of there, and they're like, and he's like, "I'll go shut off the valve," and they're like, "Oh no," you know, and he's like, It's not like any of the oxygen. He's like panting.
See, that's what bothers me.
He's out of breath.
Angel, he smells the gas, but yet he doesn't need oxygen. Oh.
That bothered me too.
Yeah.
Well, your olfactory senses are not actually needed for breathing, so you could detect an odor without actually breathing. and
I'm
metabolize.
Sorry, I need just to suspend some disbelief here.
Yeah. I think that's your way of just making me shut up, Kevin. No, it's okay, Lario. I'll just suspend my disbelief. Let's move on.
May I bring up something about Willow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay, and this has been, I think she's, like, weird little comments have popped up over the previous episodes, and then something she said in this one kind of struck me. She seems really interested in witchcraft.
Really? What did she say? Oh,
yeah, she did mention if she's a witch, we know what to do, or, right?
Yeah, it's like, what did she say?
If she was a witch, we'd know how to,
We can find a witch, and there's like this weird, like as soon as they realized that the ghostly, well, my note was as soon as they realized that there was the ghostly presence, was she immediately brought up witch, mm-hmm. and then she made some weird comment about it. She goes, oh, well, we can find a witch, and I'm like, that seems really strange to me. Mm-hmm. Like, and they brought it up a couple of different times, and in the episode, the other one, the one that I liked with the cheerleader, that she seemed oddly, like, interested in witchiness, so I'm wondering if that's something. I don't know. It's something that just kind of struck with me. Okay.
Is Willow a witch?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
She does have red hair.
She seems super.
She does have red hair. Like, isn't that like the mark of a witch?
Does she float?
She weighs the same as a duck. She's a witch. Oh.
I am so lost.
If they have a Halloween episode and she's dressed up like a witch, then she's a witch.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems real interested in it, and it seems odd to me, or something we should be looking out for. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I did notice her saying that, but I didn't really put much weight into that comment leading, you know, necessarily meaning that she's that interested in witchcraft. But now that I think about it, maybe you're right. Maybe there is kind of a... I think... The more I watch, the more I think there's a lot of stuff about our non-Slayer Scoobies, Xander and Willow, that we're not privy to yet. And I think that assuming that they're just normal, everyday high schoolers is probably not very wise. Mm-hmm. And I.
Well, there has to be a reason why they would hang out with a Slayer and a Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, Steph's being very quiet.
As is Robin. I'm not even looking over to see if there's anything, you know, visually.
Oh, you won't read anything in this blank look.
But yeah. Luckily, the heat in Montreal has Robin's face all just, although it is nice and cool in the basement.
Yeah.
Steph. Go ahead.
So, Buffy never realizes Angel's anywhere around.
No. In fact,
You didn't even see him, did
Giles
she?
Made sure that they did not tell her that Angel rescued them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much on purpose.
Angel the janitor, maybe.
Angelo.
Oh, boy.
That's my son's middle name. Don't laugh at Angelo.
I wasn't laughing at your son. I was laughing at how you pulled that off. I was amazed.
Yeah, all right. Oh, there'll be lots of edits, don't worry. I've not been very stellar today.
So, anything else to discuss about Out of Mind, Out of Sight?
So...
The more Cordelia hate?
Jesus,
I kind of warmed up to her a little bit. I really honestly warmed up to Cordelia a little bit.
I would be interested in seeing some of the off-screen things that happen, especially seeing... a body being dragged by nothing into a car, and then another body coming out of the school being dragged by nothing, and then thrown. I don't even know. Did she use public? She doesn't have a car.
Yeah, how did Marcy get Cordelia and Buffy to the Bronze?
And why the Bronze?
Because Gabby has not.
That's true.
The Bronze is where they're having the May Queen.
Oh, is that where they're having the May Queen thing?
That doesn't make any sense. Though, wouldn't they every other high school have it either at the school in the gym, as we learned from every John Hughes movie ever, or or in a hotel ballroom for crying out loud? Why the Bronze?
Are there?
And Saved by the Bell, they had things at the Max.
True. Max, no, the Peach Pit.
Mm. The Peach Pit was like a little diner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't really have any torture scenes in a diner.
They had the Peach Pit after dark. Which
Peach Pit after dark.
No, it's true.
I know. I just had this wave of, oh my God. I used to watch that show every time it was on. I was addicted. It was terrible. Oh, I feel so dirty now.
Do you guys know what the date was yesterday?
Yes, it was 90210.
Yes.
It was 90210. God, I had like 15 people text me that. I'm like, hey, I get it now. Yeah, we're old.
I reminisced about the Shannon Doherty poster I had hanging up in my bedroom.
Still?
Awesome.
Still.
What did your wife think about that, Ron? I mean, oh, it's her poster. Yeah, but you bring up a good point. How did she get them there? I won't bore you with the details of my escape.
Yes. And as you notice, Buffy and Cordy try to get her monologuing. Yes. No, really, tell us why.
Tell us.
But Cordelia has the most annoying scream. Buffy!
Yeah, she was pretty annoying.
That was my impression.
I don't know.
She was so annoying.
Like, I know that... I know she's detestable, but at the same time, I kind of warmed up to Cordelia a little bit. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I've pinpointed it. I think my opinion of Cordelia has changed, mostly because she went up to Mrs. Miller and asked her for help on her essay, which proves that she was very serious about her schooling. And I guess my first impressions of her maybe being just popular and not caring about other stuff, I hadn't really necessarily thought that she may have also been, you know, extraordinarily into school and bright.
Yeah, she's a very good student.
And I think that's really kind of what switched it over for me. You know?
Yeah.
I think I really kind of started warming up to her when I realized, hey, she's really, you know, into that and wants to do a really good job of it. And I think maybe that's kind of where my, you know, like where my heart's warming a little bit towards, you know, Cordelia now.
But it's also like, because she wants to be perfect at everything, you know, and it makes me think that there are other things in her life that aren't perfect.
Mm.
So I'm hoping further along the line, if we get another Cordelia episode, we may learn a little bit more about maybe her family life or something like that, but that could be reaching. But I liked, like you're saying, that she did show that she cared about something.
Mm-hmm.
Besides herself.
Yeah.
And that's what makes her a little bit endearing.
I do like her.
Let me ask you this. Robin, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I do like how she voiced her conservative values by saying, if I'm not crowned, then Marcy is one.
Yes.
What an injustice.
Okay, did y'all notice Harmony's jacket when she was pushed down the stairs?
No.
No.
She was wearing a blue jacket, and I swear it's the same blue jacket Buffy wore in Nightmares.
Really?
Oh, that light blue leather jacket?
Yeah.
Yes. Same exact jacket.
Low budget on wardrobe, I guess.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Also, in Nightmares, Buffy wore the same exact outfit through the whole episode, I do believe.
Well, that actually...
She did!
See? There weren't many costume changes for her in that one.
I hate to go back to the...
Or was I wrong?
But, I mean, the fact that that timeline is... It took place during an entire day, and that timeline is really screwed up if you really watch, like, the clocks and people getting in and out of classes. Yeah. Sorry, edit.
Okay.
But now, I really like Buffy's outfit at the end of Out of Mind, Out of Sight, where she had the black tights and the black t-shirt and the orange skirt. That was really cute.
Yes. I continue to love her boots.
I like her boots. Oh, her boots. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And pigtails.
This is something that really bothers me. Notice the size of her chest. It shrinks.
Well,
when the stunt devil comes in, yes.
Well, it depends if she's wearing a Wonder Bra or not.
I think it probably depends on the bra. But in season one, she has C's. In season two, she has B's. In season three, she has A's.
Hey, spoilers.
She's working out.
I think that might be what it is. I think that by season three, season four especially, she's very thin. Starting out, she's fleshier than she ends up being later on.
We'll have to watch out for that.
Do we have any more points of revelation before we rate the episode and talk about homework and such?
Teachers don't last very long at Sunnydale High School. How long do they have to be there before they get tenure? They're always dying.
Yeah. Another thing about high school, I work at one, and there's no way a teenager would be able to walk around with a t-shirt that says 25-cent peep show with a silhouette of a woman on there. Are you
really?
Kidding? No.
In my country, we don't mind such things.
Oh, I actually have one more piece of trivia. I looked this up. In Marcy's textbook at the end, did you guys actually pause and look at it?
No.
It is actually the lyrics to Happiness is a Warm Gun.
Is it really?
But it's got all the lyrics. Mm-hmm. They're a tiny bit altered here and there, but the big one that's altered, it says, Joy is a hot revolver.
Oh, of course, because no one wants to get sued by Yoko Ono.
But, you know, it's all about assassination and stuff. And then little tiny text, it's the lyrics to that song.
That's funny.
Good times.
Let's rate the episode. Robin, what did you think?
Oh, gosh.
Rate it.
I will say...
Now.
Maybe, I guess I'm going to have to give it a $6 Canadian.
Wait, $6 Canadian tire money or $6 Canadian?
Oh, $6 Canadian tire dollars.
Okay.
In tires.
Those are very small tires.
I don't know, I kind of like this episode. Like Illyria was saying, take out all the stuff with Invisible Girl, and it's a really good episode. I'd probably say 7.5, maybe even 8. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gabby, it has at least a point.
We know we have at least a point.
There is the bronze.
And there was a fight scene in the bronze. There was a cutting in the bronze.
I got you, bitch.
but I wasn't really a big, huge fan of this episode, although it was relatively entertaining, so I'll give it a 7. 7.
Ooh, that means it really only had a 6.
Bronze point. Thank goodness that invisible girl drags both these girls unconscious to the bronze.
Goodness.
I think I'm back on my poutine scale, and I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 poutines.
My scale is going to tip because of your poutine.
Yes. the whole, I mean, Marcy, the Invisible Girl, all that stuff, kind of, I didn't enjoy it that much, but I really, I thought all the Cordelia stuff and Buffy being all melancholic and stuff was very much what intrigued me about this episode, and I really did enjoy that. So I stick by my rating.
I give it a 5.
Really?
Meh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Harsh.
I thought I was harsh.
You know, us veterans, it's hard for us to not compare it to the rest of it.
Yeah, because we're just comparing it to what we've seen so far. You guys are comparing it to stuff.
Uh-huh. You guys are.
It's like they were trying to go for atmospheric, and it just meh.
That's a shame.
But next week, Prophecy Girl, written and directed by Joss Whedon.
Awesome. And this is the finale for season one, is it?
Yes. Awesome. Praise Jesus.
And I have to say,
the opinions of Steph do not necessarily reflect the opinions of all potential cast hosts.
I have to say, the next episodes, that in it has one of my favorite Buffy quotes ever.
Nice.
Quotes,
everyone. Oh. Quotes.
Segue.
Robin, you are a guest. Please. Quotes, please.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to go for it. Maybe it's a vampire bat. That's like a joke I would say.
Yes. It would be a joke I would say. And it made me laugh out loud while I was watching the episode on the Metro on my way home today. I'd like to go next if I could.
Sure.
Once again, I teeter at the precipice of the generation gap.
I got one. May I?
Of course.
Did I tell you about the time she attacked me at the Bronze?
That was uncanny.
That was awesome.
Thank you. I try.
Oh, I've got so many to choose from. My eyes are hazel, Helen Keller.
That was a good one.
So offensive. And hilarious. Stephanie.
Don't sue.
Don't sue. That's good. Dear listeners, it's time for me to mention how you can get in touch with us. You can call us. If you want to give us feedback about an upcoming Buffy episode, an episode we've already covered, or about what we're putting out onto the wonderful ether, you can call us at 27040-BUFFY. You can also reach us via email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Follow Potential Cast on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. And please feel free to visit potentialcast.com, where you can find show notes for each episode. Post a comment on the boards there. And if you're interested in playing one of our promos, you can find links to the promos on that website.
Thank you
so much for having me on.
Robin, thanks for being on.
I had a blast.
Thank you for driving the 16 and a half hours. Where are you coming from today? Vermont?
From the heart, baby. From the heart.
Vermont's not that far. You didn't have to drive. And you weren't driving, were you?
No.
You were being driven?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for showing up. Thanks for staying awake.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
Being chauffeured to another country.
Thanks for being chauffeured to another country. And joining us here today.
No problem. Not a
awesome.
Problem whatsoever.
It was really great fun having you on.
Thank you.
We are now amongst a very exclusive club of podcasts that Robin has officially been on as a guest.
Conquered. And now that I've
successfully rendered
us all
speechless. Bye, everybody.
Grr, arg.
Nice.
Bye.
She's not a girl who misses much. Oh, yeah. She's well acquainted with the touch of the velvet hand, like a lizard on a window pane. In the crowd with the multicolored mirrors on his hobnail boots, lying with his eyes while his hands are busy working overtime. A soap impression of his wife, which he ate and donated to the National Trust. Cause I'm going down, down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix, cause I'm going down. Mother Superior jumped the gun. 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 Mother Superior jumped the gun.
Mother Superior jumped the gun.
I'm on a sugar high. That's what I'm going to blame right now.
Where's the Coke Zero?
That was not a bong, by the way. I just realized what that sounded like. I'm like, wait a second. This is in 2002? What's that noise from?
Wait a minute. Is that an outtake right there?
Maybe.
It wasn't a bong.
Yeah. We'll see.